الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad and we are reading the Ahadith under the bab where Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he seeks to tell us, give us examples of the way and the manner of the early Muslims with their dua. He seeks to make us see, make us learn how the early Muslims, how they made their dua. They asked for many things in simple expressions. Rahimahumullah. Yesterday we started with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam while he made the dua for Amr ibn Huraith, Abu Sa'id al-Khurash al-Qurashi radiyallahu anhu. We established that Abu Sa'id Amr ibn Huraith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed away, he was about 12 years old. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made dua for him. He said, ذهبت بي أمي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فمسح على رأسي ودعا لي بالرزق. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, my mother took me to him. فمسح على رأسي. So he wiped over my head. ودعا لي بالرزق. He begged Allah to provide me rizq. He begged Allah to provide me wealth. And Amr ibn Huraith became very rich. We mentioned that he married the daughter of Adi ibn Hatim. He gave Adi ibn Hatim the opportunity to mention whatever he wanted as the mahar for his daughter. In fact, the people began to say, what if he gives you something for akthara? And then he mentions too much, said, let him mention. Ali ibn Hatim mentioned something around our own 1.8 million, around that. But when Amr ibn Huraith finally sent the bride price, he sent in something in the equivalence of 40 million naira because he was stupendously rich. And the instruction from our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ. So he gave a lot of money because he was so stupendously rich from the dua of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to him when he was young. Then we read the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, who was at Az-Zawiya, a city or a town in the outskirts of Medina, at the time when some of the people from Al-Basra came to visit him, لِتَدْوَ وَاللَّهَ لَهُمْ, so that he will make dua unto Allah for them. And Anas said, radiyallahu anhu, Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna wa atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasanata wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma ghafir lana warhamna wa atina fi dunya hasana وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا. O Allah, grant us your forgiveness, warhamna, show us your mercy. Wa atina fi dunya hasana. O Allah, give us hasana in this dunya. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Grant us hasana also in this, in the hereafter. We explain the various meanings from the early Muslims about the meaning of hasana. He kept it up and said, waqina adhaban nar, protect us from the punishment of the fire. Fastazaduhu, the people thought that, oh, we came all the way from Basra to Al-Madina, give us more dua. They asked him for more. Faqala mithlaha, but Anas said the like of what he had said, radiyallahu anhu. Allahumma ghafir lana wa rahamna wa atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. And then he said, in utitum hadha, if Allah grants you what I have begged him for you, faqad utitum khayra ad-dunya wal akhirah, you have certainly been granted all the goodness of this world and all the goodness of akhirah. So rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar is so all encompassing. The lesson here is that the expressions for the dua, they are so concise, very concise, but the meanings inside them are so vast. They employ all-inclusive expressions when they made dua. Simple expressions, but vast, vast requests. Simple expressions, vast requests. That is Hadith 633. In Hadith 634, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, حدثنا أبو معمر قال حدثنا عبد الوارث قال حدثنا أبو ربيعة سنان قال حدثنا أنس ابن مالك قال أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم غصنا فنفضه فلم ينتفض ثم نفضه فلم ينتفض ثم نفضه فانتفض قال إن سبحان الله والحمد لله إن سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله ينفضن الخطايا كما تنفض الشجرة ورقها. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله in حديث 634 in our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he reported that hadith from his Shaykh Abu Ma'mar Abdullah ibn Amr Al-Basri, who said Haddathana Abdul Warith. He was reporting from Abdul Warith ibn Sa'id ibn Zakwan Abu Ubaidah. Abdul Warith ibn Sa'id ibn Zakwan Abu Ubaidah, who said حدثنا أبو ربيعة سنان ابن ربيعة الباهلي. So سنان, أبو ربيعة, in this isnad, he is سنان ابن ربيعة الباهلي. سنان ابن ربيعة الباهلي رحمه الله. He said حدثنا أنس بن مالك. أنس بن مالك narrated to us. He said أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم غسلا فنفضه فلم ينتفض. The Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام once he held the branch of a tree. The tree was dry, as it occurs in other reports in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and in other books of hadith. The branch that he held alayhi salatu wasalam from that tree was dry. So he held Usnan Nafadahu Falam Yantafid. He shook it, he made it to move. Falam Yantafid. But the leaves from the dry tree, they did not fall down. Thumma Nafadahu Falam Yantafid. He shook it again. Nothing fell down. Thumma Nafadahu Fantafadha. He shook it again, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, a third time. Fantafadha. And the leaves from the dry tree began to fall on the ground. They fell. Qal, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam then said, Inna subhanallahi walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah. Add it to it. It occurs in the report of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Allah is absolutely high and supreme above any errors. Allah is free from any sort of an imperfection. This is Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Everything called praise and thanks. Lillah. They belong to Allah alone. He is the one who is deservingly praised. He is one who is deservingly shown gratitude. Wa la ilaha illallah. There is no deity. There is nothing people deserve that worship. The only person who deserves worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who deserves worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and Allah is absolutely, absolutely great and mighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these expressions, they are four in number. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These expressions, يَنْفُدْنَا الْخَطَايَا كَمَا تَنْفُضُ الشَّجَرَةُ وَرَقَهَا. These expressions, يَنْفُدْنَا الْخَطَايَا, they bring down, they fall down the sins of an individual. Subhanallah, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allahu Akbar. As these three, as the tree, kama yanfudu shajaratu, aw kama tanfudu shajaratu waraqaha, the way this tree brings down the leaves when I shook it, that is the same way these expressions bring down our sins when we say them, when we utter them consciously out of devotion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplication to Him. They bring down our sins. They remove, they cancel out our sins. The way these leaves fall off when I shook it, that is the same way the sins fall off when we say these words out of devotion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Inna subhanallah. Walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, yanfudna al-khataya, kama shuraqaha. These four expressions, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. They bring down our sins the way these trees that I have shaken, he shook it, and the trees, the leaves began to fall off. The tree began to release the leaves that were already dried. I like to quickly point out to two major points of benefits from this hadith before we proceed. The first one is that it is clear from this hadith that one of the ways to ask for Allah's forgiveness and pardon away from our sins is to say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. You see, that is different from saying Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul al-qayyum wa atubu ilayka. Or that Rabbi ighfirli warhamni innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Or the likes of all of these other expressions, even saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. These are well-known expressions to ask for forgiveness from Allah so that our sins drop off from us. It means there are other things when we do them, Allah forgives our sins. There are expressions when we say them, Allah forgives our sins. From the expressions that when we say them consciously, devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our sins fall off from us. That is Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. If we combine these expressions, they are four in number, we can combine them with a nafila in a way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described to us. It is popularly called Salatul Tasbih, the Salah in which we make a Tasbih. The Tasbih we make in Salatul Tasbih is Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These same four expressions. Salatul Tasbih also earns us forgiveness from Allah. As the Prophet told Abbas, his uncle, radiyallahu anhu, wa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abbas, if you make Salatul Tasbih, Allah will forgive you all your sins. If you make Salatul Tasbih, Allah will forgive you your sins. Whether the sin you committed it openly or in the secret, whether it is big or small, whether it is major or minor, and the rest of that, that salat occurs in four rak'ats. In the first, as you say Allahu Akbar, and you recite Suratul Fatiha and a surah, you will say Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. You will say it 15 times. I am describing Salatul Tasbih, which is a combination of these four expressions together with four units of rak'at, for which the Prophet promised alayhi salatu wasalam that anyone who does it, Allah will forgive him his sins. The hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. From the hadith of Abbas, it was reported from him from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet told Abbas to do that, his uncle. So that Salatul Tasbih, it has four rak'ats. The first, when you commence the first rak'ah, you say Suratul Fatiha and a surah, just the way we observe Nawafil or the Fard Salah. You say Surah Al-Fatiha and a Surah. And then you follow it up with these tasbihat. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say that 15 times. When you finish, you go to ruku'. You say your regular dhikr for the ruku'. Subhana rabbi al-azim. Perhaps 3 times or more. After that, you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say that 10 times. Then you stand up normally from ruku'. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Rabbana lakal hamd. When you are already fully standing, then you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, 10 times after fully standing up from ruku'. Then you go on to your sujood normally. In sujood, you make your dhikr normally. Subbuhu kuddus wa rabbul malaikati wa ruh. Oh, subhana rabbi al-a'la. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. After that, you say, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say that 10 times when you are in sujood. Then you stand up and sit down. When you sit down, you say your dhikr for that sitting. Allahumma ghafirli warhamni wahdini wa'afini wajburni. After that, you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say that 10 times. Then you go back to sujood again. After your dhikr of sujood, you say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You say 10 times. Then you sit down briefly again. This brief sitting, there is no dhikr you say other than subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You would have made 75 from them. 15, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. That will give you 75. Then you stand up for the second rak'ah. You do that in 4 rak'ahs. You do that in 4 rak'ahs together, straight stretch. No sitting in between. Straight 4 rak'ahs. And at the end of it, you say your taslim. When you make your tahiyya, you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, that will be the last one. Then you exit the salah with a taslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You have ended salah to tasbih. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, anyone who observes this nafila, Allah will forgive him all his sins. In the hadith that we have just read, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar yanfudna al-khataya. Those expressions, they bring down sin individual. Kama tanfudu shajaratu waraqaha. In the way that the tree that I just shook now, in the way it grew down, it released and shook off the leaves that were already dried from it. That is the way these expressions, they bring down sins from an individual. They cancel out sins from an individual. This is the first major point I like to call our attention to. That a major ingredient to ask for Allah's forgiveness, Allah's pardon from sins, is to say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The second major point I like to call our attention to is that the sins that will be removed when we say these expressions, they are our minor sins. As for our kabair, they require that we make a tawbah. If a person does kabira to min al kabair requires a tawbah. May Allah protect us from all that. Al kabair, the major sins, they are not taken away just when you say subhanallah walhamdulillah. No, you must observe proper process of tawbah, repenting to Allah. If anybody falls into kabira min al kabair, necessarily he has to make tawbah, proper tawbah for that kabira that he falls into. Fortunately, we started reading al kabair. If you say, oh, the sins that will be forgiven are his sayyi'at, because sins are divided into two, generally speaking, al kabair and what as sayyi'at. Allah himself called it these two names. In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. So you see, there are two of them. Ma tunhauna anhu, those things that you have been prohibited, they are divided into two. The first one are kaba'ir. So he said, in tajtanibu kaba'ir, if you abstain from this kaba'ir, one of the rewards is that nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, I will cancel out your smaller sins, your sayyi'at. So one of the ways to cancel out sayyi'at is to say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And people usually easily fall into sayyi'at than major sins, except those who deliberately become criminal, because these major sins are really major. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, in the book we read every Friday evening, he has mentioned a number of major sins to us. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, in the book that we study every Jum'ah, he has mentioned a number of major sins to us. The first one that he mentioned to us was ash-shirku billah, joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a major sin. It destroys the individual. The second one is qatlun nafs, taking the life of a person. If this ever happens to you, you have to make tawbah. May Allah protect all of us. The third one he mentioned was as-sihr, getting involved in sorcery. So if a person had been a fajalabi, he has to properly repent. If you have visited Afa Jalabi, you have to properly repent. Tawbah. Don't say, I'm saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. No, you have to repent from that indecency. If you have ever casted a spell upon a woman, you have to repent. If a woman had ever practiced sorcery on her husband so that she may be loved by the husband, she has to properly repent. If you have charmed people, young boys, to obtain their money, you have to properly repent, because all of these come under as-sihr, and as-sihr is from al-kaba'ir. As-sihr is from al-kaba'ir. Anybody who falls in al-kaba'ir, he must repent from them. Don't say you are saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Likewise, tarku salah, abandoning salah. That was what Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned as the fourth from the kaba'ir, from the major sins that Allah has prohibited. May Allah protect us. He also mentioned man'u zakat. If we join the Friday classes, we are deliberately studying this kaba'ir, so that you know if you fall into any one of these things, you must repent. It's not about making subhanallah alhamdulillah. You must repent. May Allah protect us. The sixth one that he mentioned was Ukukul Walidain, being discordant towards our parents. Young boys become discordant to parents these days. If you are like that, you must make Tawbah to get out of it. After that, he mentioned Aklu Riba, consuming riba. And this is not restricted to those who continue who consume riba alone. If you consume riba, you have to repent. If you provide your money for people to consume in riba, you have to properly repent, make tawbah away from that evil. And so on and so forth from the kabair that Al-Imam Zahabi mentioned. There are about 70 things. If you do any one of them, you have to properly repent. So, but as for others, when you say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, bi'idhnillah, Allah will forgive you your sins. May Allah protect all of us. Think that's about Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these four expressions, يَنْكُدْنَ الْخَطَايَا كَمَا تَنْكُدُ الشَّجَرَةُ وَرَقَهَا, they cast off, they shake off khataya, sins. What, which kinds of sins? سَيِّئَات, اللَّمَم, the minor sins. صَغَائِر, that the individual asks for. Al-Kaba'ir, don't forget. What we remove it is proper tawbah. That's in about four or five steps. The first step when you make tawbah is al-iqla'u, and it's leaving off that sin itself. To leave away, stop it. Those who get involved in taking the lives of innocent, stop it, innocent people, stop it for the sake of Allah. You have to stop it and make it over. So stopping the sin itself is the first step. If you are engaged in riba, you write riba agreements, maybe as a bank staff or as a staff of any financial institution. You are the one writing agreements, and in that agreement there is riba. You are accountable riba. You are upon a major sin. You have to stop it and then repent. Make it over. The first step to your repentance is stopping it itself. So you stop it, you get away from the sin. Likewise, zina. Young people these days, it is a very common thing. May Allah protect our children and protect all of us. If you make it over from zina, the first thing is to stop it itself. May Allah protect us all. So stopping the sin is the first step towards making a tawbah, a repentance. The second thing about that is nadamu ala ma fat. You regret that it had ever happened. Ah, subhanallah. You regret that you had ever done that. You regret that you had ever casted a spell on your husband. Love potions, kayam awri, and all of these, kayam matan, all of these. You have to stop it, and then you regret that it ever happened. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, he said, "An-nadama tu tawba." This hadith is Hassan. An-nadama tu tawba. The most important thing about a tawba is what? An-nadama, regretting ever having gotten involved in that sin in the first place. The third thing you need to do in the process of tawbah is to ask Allah for pardon, asking Allah for forgiveness, asking Allah for forgiveness. And then fourthly, you determine never to go back. Number four, never to go back into that sin. You regret ever happening. You stop it. You regret that it ever happened. You determine never to go back. Then you ask Allah for pardon. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Number five, if it involves the rights of people, go and pay their rights, like Akulumal Iliatim, those who consume the wealth of orphans, or those who usurp people's money by 419, or by Yahoo, or by any one of these, return all those who steal the money from government. It's from the sins too, because sarqul mal is kabira min al kabair, is a major sin. How do we know? It has a capital punishment. Those who steal money, stealing money, it has a capital punishment. It has a punishment, legal punishment in Islam. Allah told us, He said, "As-sariqu was-sariqatu faqta'u aydiyahuma." The thief male or the thief female, faqta'u aydiyahuma, cut their hands, jaza'an bima kasaba. That is the reward for what they have earned themselves. Nakala min Allah. And that is a payback from Allah to them regarding the evil they had committed. So when a sin has a legal punishment in our religion, we know that that is a sign that that sin is kabiratun min al-kabair. So if someone steals the money from government, he has to pay back when while making the tawbah. Go and deposit the money back in the coffers of the government. May Allah protect all of us. These are the steps towards repenting, making tawbah, if you commit major sin. But as for subhanallah, alhamdulillah, the minor sins, you are opening your phone, you saw a picture that you did not, that's not lawful for you to look at. You only wanted to read a news item, and they had advertised an evil showing an indecent woman. You quickly remove it. This is from issues of, so yeah, things like this Allah will forgive. If in case the glance became sustained, Allah will forgive you. If you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, if you say astaghfirullah, Allah will forgive you. And the likes of this, you're in a vehicle. One woman sat near you, not caring. She does not care but what you feel. And then she rests on you. You try to adjust and adjust. There is nowhere. In fact, when you say siafa, there is nowhere I want to adjust to. So you just have to manage these kinds of things. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. They take them away. May Allah protect us all. I think that suffices on those expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. We can quickly also look at Hadith 635 and 636. In 635, al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Nu'aym, qala haddathana Salama, qala samitu Anasan yaqul, atat imra'atun al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam tashku ilayhi al-haja, aw ba'd al-haja, faqal, ala adulluki ala khayri min thalik, tuhallilin Allah 30 inda manamik, وتسبحين ثلاثين ثلاثا وثلاثين وتحمدين أربعا وثلاثين فتلك مئة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. In Hadith 635, الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn, one of the first and eldest people that he took knowledge from, Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah. He said, haddathana Salama, that is Salama ibn Wardan. Salama ibn Wardan, he was the sheikh of Abu Nu'aym in this isnad. And he was reporting from Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه. This hadith The scholars of Hadith have mentioned that Salama ibn Wardan is a very, very weak reporter of Hadith. Yarwi an Anas al-Manakir. He reports a Hadith that are strange. Things that reliable reporters have never mentioned regarding Anas. He will say, oh, Anas said it. This is one. Secondly, he himself is weak. Who is that? Salama ibn Wardan al-Jundari, the Tabi'i in this hadith, is a weak reporter of hadith who is ascribing these reports to Anas ibn Malik, and he's well known to report strange reports from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He is Salama ibn Wardan al-Jundari. Here in this hadith, he said that Samitu Anasan Yaqul. I heard Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu saying that Atat imra'atun al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman came, approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tashku ilayhi al-haja aw ba'd al-haja. She was explaining to him, mentioning her complaints to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning ilayhi al-haja, mentioning her needs to the Prophet, aw ba'd al-haja, or some of things that she needed. She was explaining some of it to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. So the report said that he said, Ala adulluki ala khairi min dhalik. Should I not guide you onto something far better than that? Should I not tell you something better than these problems that you have? Tuhallilina Allah thalathina inda manamik. You should say La ilaha illallah 30 times inda manamik, at the time you desire to sleep. وَتُسَبِّحِينَ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ. Then you should say Subhanallah 33 times. This report said, you can see the mix-up. You can see the mix-up from Salama ibn Wardan. You can see the mix-up from these. This report said, La ilaha illallah should be 30. وَتُسَبِّحِينَ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ. You will make Subhanallah 33 times. So it says La ilaha illallah 30. Subhanallah 33. Wa tahmidina arba'an wa thalathin. Then you will say Alhamdulillah 34 times. So Subhanallah 33. La ilaha illallah 30. Alhamdulillah 34. It said, فَتِلْكَ مِئَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. That is, those are 100 expressions. They are better than this dunya and everything that the dunya contains. They are better than the dunya and everything that it contains. So you can see the mix-up in the report of Salama ibn Wardan. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. These four expressions, yes, they are known in clear-cut authentic ahadith, the like of which we read before in the hadith of Anas, when the Prophet said that these expressions alayhi salatu wasalam, he said yanfudna al-khataya kama tanfudhu ash-shajaratu warqaha. They casts off sins from an individual the way a tree casts off dry leaves. Yes, there are other ahadiths regarding the virtue of saying these four expressions, but this particular one from the hadith of Salama ibn Wardan quoting Anas ibn Malik, it is a strange report. So the report is weak and it's unreliable for evidence. The like of it is the one below it in 636, when it said, Man halala mi'atan anybody who says La ilaha illallah 100 times, wa sabbaha mi'atan, and then he says Subhanallah 100 times, wa kabbara mi'atan, he says Allahu Akbar 100 times, khairun lahu min ashri riqabin yu'tiquha, it is better for him than 10 slaves that he will free. It's better for him to say La ilaha illallah 100, Subhanallah 100, Allahu Akbar 100. He earns more rewards min ashri riqabin yu'tiquha than freeing 10 slaves wa sab'i badanatin yanharuha, or slaughtering 10 animals, whether camels or cow. You can see the huge reward that it mentions. But this isnad is the same isnad of 635. 635 and 636 all come from the hadith of Salamah ibn Wardan. And we have heard that it's a weak report of hadith. He reports very strange hadith from Anas ibn Malik. But aside these reports, to be saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, it's a very, very virtuous thing, brothers. Very virtuous expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ أَرْبَعٍ, four most loving expressions to Allah. Four things. When you say them, Allah likes them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, the most loving expressions to Allah. Four of them. Subhanallah. When you declare that Allah is free from all imperfections. Look at how he ended Surah As-Saffat. So, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Allah is far above the indecent attributes people attribute to Allah. Allah is free from imperfections. So Allah is absolutely free from imperfections. That is what you say when you say Subhanallah. Likewise, when you say Alhamdulillah, you are saying that every kind of praise and gratitude belong to Allah. And it is Allah that deserves to be praised and shown absolute gratitude. So Allah likes it. Wa la ilaha illallah, that there is no deity deserving to be worshipped except Allah. Allah likes it. Allahu Akbar. Glorifying him and declaring him the greatest. Allah likes it. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعُ, the beloved, most beloved statements to Allah are four. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yadurruka bi ayyihinna bada'at. La yadurruka. With anyone that you start with, no problem. Bi ayyihinna bada'at. La yadurruka bi ayyihinna bada'at. Anyone you start with, no problem. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. So if you hear somebody saying, Alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, Subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, don't say, why are you saying it like this? You are mixing it up. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadurruka bi ayyihinna bada'at. That hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. In another hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li an akula subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar ahabu ilayya mimma tala'at alayhi shams, that I should say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. It is more beloved to me than that you give me the entirety of this world. brothers, someone gives you an option. Come and take a house in Banana Island. Or you have an opportunity to say the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Which one will you choose? And you have to choose just one. Will you choose Banana Island? Or you will choose that expression to say it because of the value of it. The value is bigger than this dunya. The value, the reward for it that Allah will give you, it's bigger than this dunya. It is not a house that you need to renovate after 5 or 10 years. It is not a house where when you die, they will remove you from it. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, will earn you something bigger than the entirety of this dunya. It is not something, food you eat, you enjoy, and then you start running about for diabetes. Or you start running about on the street saying you're making exercises. All the likes of these. Because this dunya is designed to fade and wane off. But as for these, do you know what the Prophet called Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah? He called them al-baqiyatu salihat. What did he say in Surah Al-Kahf that we read? Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amalako. You read that every Friday. Have you read Kaf today? Have you read Kaf today? Maybe what we should be saying more again is, have you contemplated the lessons in Surah Al-Kahf? One of the lessons in Surah Al-Kahf is that Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. They are al-baqiyatu salihat. What is al-baqiyatu salihat? Those things that remain forever. The righteous things that remain forever. Lexically, this is the meaning of al-baqiyatu salihat. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he read Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. He said, فَكُولُوا هُنَّ فَإِنَّهُنَّ الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكُولُوا هُنَّ. Say these expressions, ikhwa, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, and nothing stops you. You are reading the news. You spend hours, you spend minutes reading news, reading this, reading that, scrolling, browsing. In all of this, you didn't even find an opportunity to say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. We are really missing a lot if we don't say these expressions. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكُولُوهُنَّ, say them. فَإِنَّهُنَّ الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, because they are the baqiyat, those things that will remain forever, the righteous things, those righteous everlasting things. Righteous, the scholar says, including all good deeds. But the Prophet specifically picked out Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So that's why in that verse in Surah Al-Kahf, when Allah said, Al-Malu Al-Banun, wealth and children, Zinatul Hayati Dunya, they are the things of designs in this world. But the issue is they go, children go, parents die and leave children. Wealth, we die and leave wealth. So they are not back. Yeah, they cannot remain with you forever. Here's one blunt truth, ikhwa. If you like, build a refinery with $1 billion, anything, whatever, build house, build bike, do anything, ikhwa, you will leave it and go. So they are not back. Yeah, they don't remain forever. Why? The dunya itself is not meant to remain forever. So how can it be that the things inside it will now remain forever? That the containing vessel cannot remain forever. How can the contents remain forever? The containing vessel cannot remain forever. How can the content of a containing vessel that cannot remain forever, How can the content remain forever? How can this dunya and the things, your house, your bullion van, your body, anything, body, anywhere, White House, Green House, Asurok, it will never remain forever. But what will remain forever? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقُولُوا هُنَّ get busy with these things too. He says, فَإِنَّ هُنَّ الْبَقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ get busy with them, because these things will remain with you forever. When you die and you are taken to your grave, your wives, your children, your wealth, your money, your car, they will go back home. These expressions that you say, they will remain with you in your grave. So the one who is most intelligent amongst us is the one who gets busy with these expressions. The distractions of the dunya does not take him away. That is the meaning of what you read in Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. Al-Malu wal-Banun, Zinatul Hayati Dunya. Yes. But Wal-Baqiyatu Salihat, Khairun, this is better in the Rabbika Thawaba. In terms of reward, it is better for you. Wa Khairun Amala, it is the best of the things you can anticipate as far as goodness is concerned. So generally speaking, let us keep to saying these expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. It does not cost you anything. You are driving, you are being driven by a driver, you are sitting down, you are in your office, you are writing. In fact, you are sleeping, you are standing up. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Some brothers, some young people, at their off times, when they are off work or off something, they sing music. Why sing a music when you can say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Why? When you have baqiyatu salihat, righteous deeds that remain forever. So the Prophet told us to say them regularly. So that will suffice for hadith 365 and 366. Inshallah, we come back to class in the next week for hadith 637. I was saying that suffices for 635 and 636. Bismillah, we come back to class for hadith 637, which is an authentic hadith, where we also taught another way to employ concise expressions in our dua that are pregnant of a lot of meanings and a lot of lessons from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Yusuf.
Naam, jazakum Allah khairan ya shaykhana. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
The first question is, can we add la hawla wa la quwwata to the statement?
They do not occur in all of what we have said. So leave it aside. What we have discussed today is about four expressions. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. They are four in number. They are the ones you recite in Salatul Takbir. They are the ones the Prophet called, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-baqiyatu salihat. They are the ones we recite after Salat. Subhanallah, the four expressions. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allah. I hope that it is clear.
Ya Shaykhana, ahsan alaykum. Another one reads, is there wa before Allah Akbar?
Yes, wallahu akbar.
Now, jazakum Allah khairan.
Amen.
The other one is asking about, he's saying, please, what is the level of discordance with parents what is the level of disconnect with parents falls under Kabair? If I ever stopped talking with my parents for something I believe they do wrong, for not being care about me, can this be categorized as Kabair or others in similar?
Yes, it is part of everything that is discordance directed towards parents. It comes from Kabair. Everything that is discordance, far as it is a negative behavior regarding parents, children don't have any say. The only time you have a say is when the parents say, come and disobey Allah, and you reject to disobey Allah. Even in that, you will still do it honorably. وَإِنْجَا هَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Even when they say disobey Allah, commit shirk, commit a sin, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, that is where you don't obey them. In the same circumstance, صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Regarding other worldly things, you must deal with them nicely, in a way well known to be nice. This is somebody inviting you to shirk. It still tells you to be nice to her, nice to him, in a way that is well known. So if you say because they didn't take care of you, is that shirk? So they didn't pay attention to you, is that shirk? And then you too, you abandon them. You are abandoning them. Is that known to be goodness? A child does not have any excuse to be discordant with the parent. A child does not have any excuse to be discordant with the parents unless they say disobey Allah. So you will not disobey Allah and you will still be nice to them when they say disobey Allah. You will not disobey Allah, and he will still be nice to them. Relationship with parents is so, so big. Allah said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرُ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا واخفض لهما جناح الظل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربكم أعلم بما في نفوسكم إن تكونوا صالحين فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا. Very lengthy four verses in Surah Al-Isra. بإذن الله, we'll be addressing these matters as we read our book Al-Kabair. That class happens every Friday by 4:30. The next class will be on Tarkus Salah, abandoning Salat. After that, we are coming to discordance with parents. There is nothing that can justify you to be discordant to parents. May Allah protect all of us.
Amen. Jazakumullah khairan ya shaykhan. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you clearly.
Now, please, can we perform the daily salat to duha with salat to tasbih and hope to benefit the reward for both?
If you observe salat to tasbih at the time of duha, it is good too. If you observe salat to tasbih at the time of duha, it is good, because the meaning of salat to duha is salat observed at the time of duha. So you may be striking two goodness, two virtues with one single good deed. Inshallah, it is good. Bismillah.
Jazakumullah khairan shukran. Is backbiting and slandering a major sin? How can one rectify that regarding the rights of others?
Backbiting, slandering, al-ghiba and an-namima, they are big evils. They are from al-kabair, And Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned them in his book, Al-Kabair, that we are studying. Brothers, I beg you in Allah's name, try to join that class every Friday. It is not proper that you know everything about your business. You know everything about your job. You are an associate professor of economics. You are an associate professor of IT, cybersecurity. You boast to be a professor of medicine, but you don't know those things your Lord Allah, who created you, those things he said don't do, you don't know. There are just 70 of them. You don't know them, and you are boasting to be a professor. When you die, what will you go back? Allah asks you, I said don't do this. You say you don't know, but you're a professor. Professor of nephrology, professor of neurology, professor of this. You don't know what Allah has prohibited you from. For me, wallahi, I think this is something we should be ashamed of regarding ourselves, brothers. Allah created you to worship him. And then you boast about these worldly achievements, setting aside thereby those same things that the one who made you has said you should do. I think we need very frank talks like this. Pay attention to your religion, because that is what will matter at the end of the day. As a professor as you can be, you can't exceed age 70. By age 85, they set you aside. But Allah will not set you aside. Did you not hear what he called Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar? He called it Al-Baqiyatu Salihat. Those righteous, virtuous deeds, they never stop. You don't get retired by Allah. Allah draws you close by. So why do you pay attention to something that you set aside? It's a matter of time. The society will set you aside. Those same reasons for which you don't have time now, they will set you aside when the time comes. If they don't set you aside till you die, they will set you aside in your grave. They will not get into your grave with you. But al-baqiyatu salihat will. They are everlasting. They are yours forever. So from al-baqiyatu salihat is talabul ilm. Learn your religion. Don't be proud regarding Allah. Ya ayyuhal insan, ma garraka bi rabbika al-karim. What makes you become so proud and haughty towards Allah? Allah gave you these degrees, and then now it is regarding him and his religion. You raise your shoulders. I am too big, I'm busy, I don't have time. You don't have time for the religion of Allah to learn what he wants you to do and what he does not want you to do. Create time and learn. You have an opportunity now. You will not say, I did not tell you. Aba Yusuf, let's call it a day here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahsan alaikum. Jazakum allah khairan.